So check this out. I got word that Hulu threw this crazy party in Beverly Hills with literally all of the biggest reality TV stars. I'm talking about all the Bravolettes. Candy Burris, Portia Williams, James Kennedy, Jax Taylor, even Captain Lee, and Kate Chastain. Here's the genius part. If you want to find out what happened at the party, you have to watch the commercials. Yes, I know I'll be tuning in and then signing up for a free trial to get my favorite reality TV shows at Hulu.com. Check it out.
Josh.
Yeah, that's right. Wiggle Room back for week number 3 of Survivor Winners at War. And here's the Wiggler at War, Josh Wiggler.
The 118 hours and 13 minutes since Ethan Zahn was voted out of Survivor are the worst 118 hours and 13 minutes.
As of this recording. How you doing? Are you taking it okay?
Yeah, I guess. It sucked. That was awful. That was horrible. Yeah. Yeah. That was tough. And it's our fault? I mean, come on.
Is it?
Yeah. It's according to the internet. Yeah. According to Momenchies. Momenchies tell me.
Momenchies?
Yeah. It's like your mentions, but like cuter.
I've never heard that before.
Just a little cuter. Or not. I don't know. But there's the people who are sliding and being like, Wiggler and Sesty. You made Ethan your winner pick, and look what happens. You know, it's funny was the word I was going to use, but not an appropriate word, but given the severity of the situation. Maybe curious would be better, that this is the second time in 2 full-scale returning player seasons in a row that my winner pick went out in heartbreaking fashion 4th.
Yeah.
And I believe that is the case for you as well.
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Great.
Both those things are correct.
I texted Mike Bloom on the night of the episode. And I said, you better not be laughing right now.
Yeah. Oh, no, he was so hysterical on the B&B that they were talking about it. And then he was just like giddy. And Mike, why are you laughing?
You monster.
He said, I was just thinking about how, like, when Malcolm got voted off again.
Monster.
Yeah.
He's a monster.
All right.
He's a monster. These are hard times we're living in. And as I wrote on the night that Ethan went to the edge of extinction, we live in hell now. Every week is going to be as painful as this. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if anything's going to be quite as painful as Ethan getting voted out 4th.
No, I compared this to Deal or No Deal last week. There's a lot of briefcases of things that we like, and then you're just hoping that each briefcase is open. Oh, I didn't care about that one.
Yeah. Howie Mandel may have had it right with the whole, like, germaphobe
he might have been
thing,
ahead of his time. He might have been ahead of his time. Anyway, so here we are to talk about episode number 3. It was a fascinating week in terms of the gameplay of what happened and the story of this season, where Adam attempted to make this big maneuver, tried to out-godfather the godfather. Rob ends up going with a counter plan, and then a third plan ends up coming up, which ends up being what sinks Ethan.
Right. And I'm heartbroken about Ethan, not just because he's my winner pick, not just because as a Jew, I support the Jews, but also when I was younger, when his season was first on, I think I talked about this in Evolution of Strategy, that he was like the first winner pick I ever got right.
Oh.
Like they had like the, you know, back when Survivor was still in like newspapers, and like there'd be cast announcements, and you'd see like people's photos in the, on the front page of the newspaper. And like, I remember like looking at all of the different people who were on Survivor Africa. I was like, that guy looks like the winner. I felt great about that. So I feel deeply connected to Ethan from like my earliest days as a Survivor fan. And so it was gutting to see him go out like that for really through no fault of his own, I would say, other than like existing in the game of Survivor and being linked to people that, he, you know, was linked to, not even people who he shouldn't have been linked to. Seemed like he was close with Ben. Seemed like he had good relationships with everybody on the tribe. I do think it was absolutely, without question, for the people who made the move, the right move. I fully support the move, and I think that the move makes all the sense in the world to me. And like, I know a lot of the discourse is like, if you want a week in Boston Rob, just vote out Boston Rob. I don't even know that that's necessarily, it's certainly not that simple, I don't think. I don't think that like, if you want a week in Boston Rob, just vote out Boston Rob is like a simple enough defense of why, voting out Ethan is a bad move. I think, you know, you keep Rob and Parvati and they are the two biggest targets in the entire game, you know, next to Sandra, maybe in terms of reputation. The longer you push them through, the more and more people will want to vote them out. Yeah, it's risky. It's high risk, high reward. It makes a lot of sense to do that. Ethan is such an agreeable, likable person that when are you ever really going to get consensus to vote him out? It's a heartbreaking, tough move. It's like ripping off a Band-Aid, but you got to do it. Makes a lot of sense to keep Rob and Parvati in the situation that they've got. I think, especially if you're looking at preseason stuff, if you're going back to some of the things that some of these people said, like you think, you know, Denise and Parvati, it seems like they are a little bit tighter than maybe the show has let on. Seems like Michelle and Parvati may be tighter than the show has let on. Jeremy has said, and Adam said in his press, that they weren't really going to see eye to eye with one another. So for Jeremy to get one over on Adam makes some sense to me, and for Ben to get himself in a position that is agreeable with those three makes all the sense in the world to me. It just all comes at the expense of this guy who we really, really, really deeply, deeply love and like, and that sucks, but that's Survivor. That's the way that it crumbles. But in terms of like the sense of it all, it makes all the sense in the world to me why this had to go down the way that it did.
Just to get a little bit into the weeds in terms of Survivor the show, Ethan did not have a lot to do on his exit episode, on his boot right. episode. Do you think that this speaks well for there being a lot more Ethan story to tell on the Edge of Extinction?
Yeah, couched in the obvious stuff with Josh Wigler and the Edge of Extinction. I think that that's one of the things.
A true never edger.
You know? Listen, I don't want Kirsten to call the cops on you. I think we'll probably see Ethan's story. Certainly, we're going to see, I would guess, a really meaningful Ethan arc in the next episode, but maybe across the season. And I do think if you're trying to be optimistic about, you know, the season's, you know, the Edge of Existence's presence on the season, that this is a fairly compelling story, right? I mean, this is a guy who has survived so much, and now you put him into the phase of the game that is truly like survive, mm-hmm. be out here. I think that there could be good storytelling out there. I think I still would prefer to live in the world where like you get voted out fourth and you go home and that sucks. But I think that the benefit that we do have is like you can have an episode like Ethan's exit episode. Ethan doesn't have to be very prominently featured because his story continues into the next episode.
I'm not sure if I am reading the chart right, but Josh, do you know who has the most confessionals on this season?
Who?
The extinction billionaire, Natalie. That's a good spot to be. First one out on an extinction season. Yeah. Really, you dominate the airtime.
Yeah, she bought the airwaves. she really did. You can't compete with somebody who can buy.
She has more fire tokens than anybody.
I know. You can't compete.
You can't compete with Natalie Anderson. So
I think it's a testament to the fact that to the credit of the people making the show, at least understanding that if Edge is going to be back, it needs to have more utility than it had last time. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing a lot more of it because it's got game impact, right? Like there's actual stuff that impacts the game occurring on the Edge of Extinction with trinkets being passed and forth with little tiny Survivor money discs, you know? So of course, like you're going to get more screen time over there. And I think that one reason why it's less bothersome to me here than it was a couple seasons ago is I know these people, you know.
Yeah,
they go there and they have years of history applied to their story arcs already, so it is an easier translation than it was for season 38. That's a surprising stat to me, though. I know that we've seen a lot of Natalie, but for her to be number one with a bullet with the confessional count is I guess a real testament to how well she's doing out there too. I mean, she's really crushing it out
there. That's
wild. Yeah. Good for her. Hell yeah.
Josh, speaking of crushing it, we talked about how in week one, we announced that all of the Wigglers Wombats hats sold out, that we are very happy to report that we did ship all of the Wigglers Wombats hats last week. So if you ordered a Wigglers Wombats hat, it should be on your way. And I know a lot of people have already received them and have already donning the Wigglers Wombats hat, the little WW hat.
I know. It's been great to see. It's been really, really fun to see that pop up on social media. Shout out to Derek. Derek the hero.
Yeah. Derek got a ton of boxes packed all in one day. And so let's see how the delivery ends up going and how many come back to us. But I think we got it.
All right, cool.
We'll see. We've sent them off from the edge and we'll see if they... you sent your fire tokens this way. We sent them off from the edge and we'll see if they get over to you.
The experiment continues.
I know that you on occasion go and do a Survivor season rewatch. And I know that you had started to traverse into the 30s. Did you do a rewatch of Millennials versus Gen X at some point?
I did. I got derailed at Triple H.
Okay.
Heroes, Hustlers, and the other thing.
Nobody can blame you.
Yeah.
And so in your rewatch of Millennials versus Gen X, not to get too far into the volume 4 of the Evolution of Strategy, but that Adam talked about how he would tell players certain truths at points during the game. That was one of the things that he did during Millennials versus Gen X. And he tries to do this here with Boston Rob, and it ends up not going the way that Adam hoped it would go. Can you talk a little bit about that part of Adam's strategy and how you think it plays in a season like this?
Well, I think that we talk about Adam in some ways. I think we talk about Adam as a winner in, at least in the real time of it, in ways that are not unsimilar to how we talked about Tony. You know, where there would be weeks where you're like, what did that guy just do? Why did he just do that? Like the Taylor stuff and like thinking he can trust Taylor and then finding out that he cannot trust Taylor. A few of these moves along the way in the merge. And I think that in a lot of his, in a lot of speaking about that season at the time, I think, Adam, would like, kind of try and talk about how some of those moves are risky, but maybe higher reward than they appear. And I think that is the way that he tends to play. I do think that playing by his very strict playbook against Boston Rob of trying to, keep a hand in every cookie jar on the island, or snack jar, or whatever it was that Taylor had, squirreled away, is a very risky way to play a season when the contestants are at high of a caliber as the one that we have out here. And I know that a lot of the discussion has been about like Boston Rob only plays one way. He's not that interested in negotiating terms that you come out favorably. He's about winning or losing and it's binary and that's it. And Adam is much more of a, let's push a lot of very powerful people close to the end that I can hide behind. And then I have to take the chances of, maybe losing to them. Because as Adam says in Millennials versus Gen X, it doesn't matter if he goes home fourth. He'd rather go home fourth than, go to final tribal council with David because he loses for sure. Or at least there's really no difference. That's the way that Adam is playing. But I think to ask him to not be negotiating and trying to keep these relationships open, why do we tell Boston Rob that why do we say that Boston Rob is only going to play one way and that's acceptable and not say the same about Adam? I guess would be my point. Cause I think that Adam's going to play the way that Adam plays. And this is I would imagine this is very similar to how he played online Survivor when he was playing online Survivor. I wouldn't be surprised if this is how he played Survivor Maryland or, the Durham Warriors project or any of the other things that he's gone out and played. I think that he's a relationship guy, but I do think that it says something about the way that Adam manages relationships in these games, or at least about his reputation as to how he manages reputations in these games, that you're seeing counterinsurgencies like Jeremy, Michelle, Ben, and Denise forming against that, or them catching word of it and not being too psyched about it. I do think that Adam gets caught a decent amount. This is why I said in the preseason that Adam would be very high on my list of people to go after first if I was one of these people playing out there, because I think he's a very dangerous player. Because I do, and it's a mark of respect. I think that he's a very effective player because he does keep relationships open and lines of communication open with so many different people. In a lot of ways, that makes him a very unpredictable person. Mm-hmm. And I think that Boston Rob may be coming to really regret that right about now.
Yeah, he is such a relationship guy that Adam is a wonderful enemy to have on Survivor, because that he is never going to completely freeze you out. Like, there's a lot of Survivor players, you cross them, like Abby Maria, and if you cross me, you are dead to me. Yeah. That's the thing.
With me, you're dead.
Yeah. Adam, yeah. It's quite the opposite. You right. know, you kind of, you want to be his enemy, because yeah. then, look at all the people that he was at odds with on Millennials versus Gen X. And then he comes around and then, he ends up being, you know, in a great relationship, with them. But I referenced this during the Hannah podcast that, when we talk about the, point in the merge in Millennials versus Gen X, where, you know, he's telling Jay about things that are going on. And it was a night that you and I actually did the know-it-alls when right. Steven wasn't around. And we were talking about how, you know, Zeke and Hannah said in the episode that Adam is not a great ally. And while he's such a great relationship guy, he never closes the door on anybody else in the game. That is not the thing that your allies love. It's one thing that you want to keep relationships open with everybody, but I think that your allies want to see that you're never going to talk to some of these people because it makes them feel more comfortable with you.
Yeah, I just think that the way that he kind of like freelanced on this was very dangerous, and I think that there's a lot of upside to it. Maintain a great relationship with Ethan once Parvati is gone. Maintain a great relationship with Boston Rob once Parvati is gone. Keep your options open. And especially because I think by his logic, his best path forward is going to be having like the icons of the game in play, because they will look on him, they'll underestimate him, and they'll look on him as somebody that they can tell what to do, how to do it, and when, and then he can be patient and wait for his time to strike, because it doesn't matter if he gets caught looking in, you know, the final eight. That's the same result as, you know, getting, you know, blasted out in like the fourth round here, or getting blindsided, you know, not getting voted out, but like not being involved in the plan. So I get that from his perspective, but like it's going to be very risky when you're playing with, you know, with like a very like solid alliance, especially when you have like a very decisive numbers majority in this situation where it's a really open and shut case. And the business as usual on Survivor really can be like, Rob, I can't tell you where the votes are going. But they're going a certain way. I could tell you that you'll be here. Or I certainly hope that if you are here, that you and I are still continuing on, or however you message that to him. But I think to like then give Rob a name is very dangerous. And I'd be very curious to know when in like the cycle some of those conversations started. Like there's the scene with Adam and Ethan talking about, will you be comfortable if Parvati goes? I think that that's before they even lose an immunity challenge. Is that editing? Is that like, you know, out of order? Or is that after the challenge loss? Because Adam strikes me as the kind of person who, if he is as much of the Survivor savvy student that I, believe him to be, I think that that's probably the conversation you have after you lose. So I don't know. It was a rough week for him. It was a rough week for him, but it's still just, unbelievable entertainment value that he is providing to the season. And I appreciate what he was going for.
Yeah.
I definitely do, but I think it was a really dangerous move and not a shock at all that it blew up.
Can you see a scenario where Sele goes to tribal council this week and one of Adam, Parvati, or Boston Rob does not get voted out?
No, hard for me to see that.
Yeah.
Unless somebody, you know, gets an idol. Like, unless like Ethan goes to the edge of extinction, finds an idol, trades it with Parvati or Rob for a fire token, and they like idol Jeremy out of the game, or they idol Ben out of the game. Something like that could happen. Those are things that like you just can't account for because we don't have those ingredients in play for us this mm-hmm. week. But I think if it's just all things being equal, if like there are no more trinkets over at the Sele tribe this week, it would definitely be one of Rob, Adam, or Parvati for me. And I think if I'm voting, I'm voting out Adam this week. I think like Adam like revealed himself this week as far as how he's going to play the game. I think it's a really dangerous way to play the game. And I think that like Parvati is somebody that I'm like, I would be very concerned about as somebody who could be like a really deadly opponent for me the deeper you let her get into the game. But I don't know if I'm crazy, but I'm maybe not that terrified of Boston Rob. I think that Boston Rob...
I don't think people are.
I think, and I don't think that you necessarily need to be. I think Boston Rob is really at his most powerful when he's got a coalition behind him, and the game has passed him by in that regard at this point. How is he going to ever find himself in the position of being like at the head of a coalition of power right now?
Yeah.
I just don't see that happening. So I actually think Boston Rob is somebody you can allow a little bit further into the game without too much risk. He's not going to go on an unstoppable immunity run.
Yeah.
You're going to be able to get rid of him eventually.
Yeah.
Adam is somebody I'd be so much more concerned about because he's so connected to so many different people. Boston Rob, they voted out his wife. Like, who is he going to, like, go over to over there right now? Mm-hmm. I think, like, you know, when we talk about, like, where's that person going? Like, ahead of, like, a swap or, like when you're weighing and assessing, like, who's a flight risk in the game. Boston Rob is going to be, like, a number to somebody right now, and how is he going to be able to, like, tolerate that for too long? Yeah. I can't imagine he tolerates it very well, so I don't like his shot in the game right now at all.
I know it's counterintuitive here, but I kind of feel like that if you leave him in the game all the way, even to the end,
yeah,
I think he'd be such a bull in the china shop playing from the bottom the whole way, where sort of like Marquesas Boston Rob at the merge, where he's at the bottom, he's gonna, you know, that there's no way he can't play from the bottom and get under the radar. I think that he would be, you know, full like Troyzan, this is my island, and would really like ruffle a ton of feathers getting to the end. And I know you say it's day 39. Hey, it's Boston Rob. You got to give him the money. Do you?
I don't know that you do.
I don't know, but I kind of feel like that he might be, you know, in the Obi-Wan Kenobi mode of if you strike him down, maybe he becomes more powerful on the edge of extinction, where he's going to be, you know, racking up these fire tokens.
Yeah, don't forget, Redemption Island was created for him, you know. So now he finds himself on the edge of extinction, and he fulfills his destiny.
And now all of a sudden he pops back in, you know, at final six with an idol. And now, now what are you going to do?
Yeah,
I don't know. This I could be out galaxy braining myself here.
It's a little bit of a galaxy brain, but I'm dosing up with you, man.
I just think it would be so fun if people were like, you know what, I'm dragging Boston Rob to the end.
I think that there could be something to that. I think on a winter season, I think that that's not impossible. Especially like, you know, I think like a powerless Boston Rob, or like a relatively powerless Boston Rob.
He's Negan in the jail.
Exactly. Which makes sense if you watched all of Walking Dead, but that's probably only five people listening to that to this. But like a big, brash, bad guy who has his thumb on everybody because he's in charge gets taken down and thrown into prison, and look at what he's become once he's, you know, behind bars. You know, they both like baseball.
Hey, let me out.
A Negan quote, but that's certainly what he's
That's funny.
Whoa.
That's funny.
Yeah, I think Boston Negan, I think, is somebody you could take to the end potentially and beat. And I think that, I don't know, I might be like in this moment severely underrating Boston Rob. And I hate to do that, but I think it, again, it is a big compliment to Adam. I think that Adam is a really great Survivor player, and I think he knows the show really, really well, that I think he's so much more dangerous in this game than Boston Rob, at least in terms of like foiling plans, if not winning, that I think that he would be the person I would get rid of right now. You still have numbers on Parvati and Rob.
Yeah. Because I think that if you are worried about Adam just in your tribe, what do you think is going to happen when you get to the merge or the swap?
Yeah. Cut him off now. You know, he showed that this is how he's going to play. I think that you just like have to like, you have to vote him out here. That would be my move. And I, out of pure love, because it's a pure respect move. And I think that obviously like in the conversation here, we're losing the fact that like, how are you not even talking about like voting out Parvati? I think that all of the things that you can say about Adam here would be true as well. Except I think that there are people in this foursome, specifically Denise and Michelle, that I think, are interested in working with Parvati. So I just think that of those three, she seems like the least likely option right now to me.
Okay. Let's get your sense of, what's going on over on Dekal.
With the fishing.
They had like the one big scene this week.
You know, I was really disappointed that Michelle is actually not on the Dekal tribe, so that she couldn't have been there for that fishing scene and said, "That looks like a bunch of fresh sharky to me." I came up with that about 5 minutes before the podcast started. I was laughing very hard, and I just thought I should put it in the universe. I don't know. It's very stupid. It's the last Survivor podcast of the week. You know? I assume no one else got to that. Was that just me?
Yeah, nobody else thought of that. That was just,
looks like a bunch of fresh Sharky to me.
Mm-hmm.
Get a tattoo.
Tony, we've seen so much from Tony from Kagyan. Shark catching Tony is a new Tony that we never thought we'd get to see.
Mm-hmm. Does he get the credit for it, or is it Sandra caught the shark? Who caught the shark?
Sandra had the idea to put the net out there. Nobody is even at Sandra's level right now. But then I think Tony got a lot of the credit from his amazing song that he serenaded the group with, which let me just play you a clip of
the
that.
Corey B. Yep.
Baby Shark doo-doo-doo, Sandra Shark doo-doo-doo.
Yay! It's been underreported on the podcast this week how much I love Sandra's punctuation.
Yay! Is that Sandra?
Yeah.
I thought that was Tony once again doing a Super Mario. Kind of sounds like, yeah, you put that with, wah! I think that you've got like a really good Tony Mario soundboard.
Yeah. Tony is kind of like Mario. Like, he's a little bit, shorter in stature, but, you know, I could see him like
jumps around,
running, jumping. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Tony plays Survivor like it's a digital platformer, you know, like it's a side scrolling video game that he just has to jump around and knock you out of your shell.
They both have Italian names.
I don't know. I think it could work. Tony is looking really pretty through four vote outs of Survivor, and that is insane. That's
who is the Luigi
crazy
to Tony's Mario?
I guess it, by default, is it Sarah?
Is it Sarah? Is it Luigi?
It's Woo if it's Kagyan. Is Luigi for sure. I don't think that Yule will settle for being, although Luigi had a real bounce back year, not terribly long ago. Were you hip to any of like the
Luigi's Mansion?
Well, there was the Year of Luigi, and it was a recent edition of Mario Kart. And the internet really took a shine on to Luigi because Luigi, was in Mario Kart, and you know, you do like these drifts, like the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, except in Mario Kart. And like your characters make all these funny expressive faces, and they're all very goofy and lighthearted. But Luigi just like stared daggers into your soul. Mm-hmm. Like he had this like really menacing, dark, deadly look about him. And so like the Year of Luigi and the Luigi Death Stare was very popular online. And maybe that is not dissimilar to Yuleigi. You know, that he's coming back, that Yule Kwan is here on Survivor. And he is demonstrating himself to be a very deadly thinker once again. He seems to have really gotten himself in a great position within Dekal. So it's like maybe it is like a pick which Mario brother you want to play as.
Yeah,
I know that there's a lot of Mario stands out there. He's the default, of course. But I was always a Luigi guy growing up. Okay. So I think I'll sign on Yuleigi. I think it's good. If only to like put that out in the universe so Yule can like Photoshop his face onto Yule's body and tweet it out, onto Luigi's body and tweet it out.
Josh, have you seen any of the secret scenes about life at Dekal?
No, not this week.
Oh, I mean, they're really, really fun. I mean, that it's been so captivating, everything that's going on at Cele, but we are really being robbed of life at Dekal because there's some really great secret scenes, some very, very, very fun stuff going on there.
Yeah. It seems like a great tribe. It seems like a really fun tribe, and it's a bummer that we're not getting them on the show.
Yeah, but I don't want them to go to tribal council because I feel like Tyson's going to get voted out.
So there's an RHAP listener named AJ who is in my bocce league.
Oh, AJ Mass.
It's not AJ Mass.
Oh.
And we were talking at bocce this past weekend. We have the Sunday Brooklyn Bocce League. And we were playing each other 7-0 against the Israelites. Sorry, AJ. I didn't throw a single ball. I was not in the game. And we were talking about it, and we're almost at a point where I will not be able to emotionally handle anybody getting voted out. We're not quite there. There are like a few that I'll be okay. Like I'll just be like, all right, you know, that's a bummer, but what are you going to do? And even maybe something that's like, it's not even that much of a bummer. Mm-hmm. But there's like a big, vast majority of like, it's going to be a heartbreaker every week from here on in. And I thought that, that's another reason why this was a powerful week of the show. It's been all fun and games so far, you know, and there have been heartbreakers along the way. But losing Ethan this early was, to me and to many, a real wake-up call, I think. And I think that we're going to be in for many, many rude awakenings in the very near future.
Okay.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. Josh, anything else you want to say about this week's episode?
Nothing that can't be done in musical form.
Okay. All right. And if that's the case... it's the wand off, baby!
Oh my gosh.
Yay!
Yay! oh my god. Savoring every bite like a delicious shark caught on an island.
All right, Josh, here we are. The wand off here for week number 3. And
all right.
Boy. Last week was such an exciting week on the wand off where we had the most ever wand off submissions.
I know,
of all time.
65, right? No, 63.
63.
63. That's how 63. Fast we were going. Yeah.
And this week we actually passed that.
Holy crap cakes.
Yes. Oh my god. Yay!
Yeah, yay. Randy Neupel has been listening, uploading all weekend.
How is this guy still alive?
Yeah. 65 tracks currently.
Okay.
Listed. So
a
ton okay. Wow. Came in this week.
Wow. Oh my god. And how many of them were baby sharks?
So we did. we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Like
we'll
a
get
lot.
To that.
It seems like the answer is a lot.
We got a lot.
We all know what we were biting off this week coming into the wand off.
Yes. So there's just, I'm just saying this up front. A lot of gold is going to be on the SoundCloud. A lot of gold is not going to get in the show. Okay. Basically, imagine yourself that the people that are in the wand off, the honorable mentions and the top five, they're at Cele. Okay.
Uh-huh.
You are also all winners.
Yeah.
You just happen to be on DeKalb Beach. Okay.
Yeah.
You guys are in the secret scenes. That's right. In the SoundCloud playlist. That goes out to the patrons on Monday night. Okay.
Yeah.
So robhaswebsite.com/patron if you want to hear even more.
Great argument to become a patron.
Great argument to become a patron. And you know, if you feel like that you were slighted, you should have been in the show. I welcome you to, you know, share your wand offs on, Twitter and Facebook the next day also and let people know, be proud of what you turned in. Okay.
100%. 100%. Okay. All right.
All right.
Let's bring them in.
We're limited. We're limited.
Yeah. I understand. Relax. Right. We're okay. Everyone's going to be all right. We're going to make it.
All right. Let's talk about last week in the wand off and, we had a ton of great stuff, okay? And we had in third place last week, the return of Mike from Massachusetts. Third place for the token Eclipse of DeKalb, 17.5%.
A long way to go for a freaking amazing punchline.
Yes. Dave from Ohio is back in second place with 25% of the vote for where in the floor is Adam Klein's torch hole.
That's another good one.
Yes.
All right. My heart's in my throat right now with the winner reveal.
Winner reveal.
I'm a little nervous.
Okay. With 29.5% of the vote.
Okay.
Josh, we have a first in the wand off this week. For the first time ever. Well, I'm very proud to announce a one-off win for the team of Aaron Robertson and Jordan Kalish for Put My Torch in You.
So now I know Put My Torch in You, like Jeff wants me to.
Yes.
It'll fit so right. Burn through tribal tonight, put my torch
in
you. It is about time that the voice of the angelic Aaron Robertson made his way into a final wand-off. Wombat
final wand-off. The wand-off can end this season now. Jordan Kalish and Aaron Robertson have won a week of the wand-off, okay?
Wow. Yeah, wow. You know, I've been very genuinely starting to feel like anxiety and like second-guessing about ending the wand-off because it's been so fun this season. Mm-hmm. But now I feel a little better about it because at least Jordan and Aaron won.
Yes.
Right? Like, I think I would have felt worse if we had closed this whole thing out and they never actually won one.
And they never actually got to one, but they did.
Yeah, they did it. They did it. Okay, we're doing the right thing here then. We're doing
the right thing. So without further ado, let's bring in the host of The Wandoff, the late, great Casey Kasem. Robin, Josh, it's a pleasure to be back here in the studio with you for week three of The Wandoff.
Casey, how thrilled are you for Aaron and Jordan right now? Scale of one to twist.
I'm so thrilled that I'm more thrilled than Jordan Kalish at a Blake Towsley concert. I don't know if Blake Towsley even did concerts.
It's your own joke. Just let's find the veil. It's your own joke.
Josh, why don't we get into this week's honorable mentions?
Okay.
Of course, there's so many great things that came in on the wand-off this week. They can't. Casey, we got to that. We got to that already. All right. Just saying it again so nobody drags me on Twitter.
Yeah. Are you on Twitter, Casey?
I am, but my account is private.
It's locked.
It's locked, and I recommend you do the same.
I think about it often. I do. I really do.
Josh, are you ready to hear this week's honorable mentions?
Born ready.
All right, Josh, of course, we have to kick things off with a song you might have heard before because Rob played it at the end of this week's Survivor Know-It-Alls. It was a first for the wand-off, the first time that a honorable mention from the wand-off got sent in before the episode even aired. Here's Corey B with his salute to Tony and Sandra and the Shark.
What is the last one?
I believe that's Yule saying he caught a shark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
We still got a number of submissions that were the same exact thing, even though we played Corey B's on the Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night.
Oh, God. How many did we get?
A couple showed up in our net.
Okay. Any worth playing or
no.
SoundCloud?
No.
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
Respectfully, SoundCloud.
Yeah. Yeah. Corey B got there first.
Yeah. And you put it out there. Or Rob did. Sorry, not you, Casey. Rob put it out there at the end of the Know-It-Alls with that specific message in mind. So you knew what you were doing if you made a shark, the doo-doo shark this week. Is that what it's called?
Baby shark.
Yeah.
My kids have been, especially Anthony, he's Sandra Shark Doo Doo. I don't think he knows who Sandra is. But,
does Sandra know who Sandra is?
Yeah, that is a verse in the song now.
Yeah. Great.
Speaking of Tony catching the shark, here's Lee H with her take on Tony and the shark.
Tony's got a shark. Tony's got a shark. His antics have left a mark. Its bite's worse than its bark. Why, oh, you quan, why did you leave Tony to die? Tony's playing sharks and ladders, risking it all to win the game. Jeff's talking with production now that Tony's on the run and survival will be the same.
That was a great one from the band Willard Arrowsmith.
There you go. Willard? How is Willard? Wanda wants to know.
Good.
I haven't kept in touch.
Yeah. Did you hear? He looks like the immunity idol.
An internet rumor that I've read on a few places.
Speaking of idols, here's the latest from Will from America.
Yes.
Tony grabbed a shark. And Mish made her mark. Left E in the dark. While Rob made Adam look like a narc. Ethan's on. I can't believe you're gone. It's been 16 years. We've been waiting for so long. Tell me that I'm wrong and that they badly misspelled Boston Rob.
That was another weekly update from Will from America.
It'd be a pretty wild misspelling of Boston Rob.
Be funny if somebody tried that. I know I spelled, well, Boston Rob won, but she said I misspelled Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. That would at least, wrong.
Yes, that would at least be something, but I don't know. All the people that voted
It really still isn't, though. They're still pretty different names, Ethan and
still
Adam.
Still pretty different, but closer. One vote for Boston Rob is not going to do much, but all the people that voted for Ethan.
Look, if you're really a next level Survivor winner, you should be able to convince Jeff Probst that your parchment that says Ethan actually says Adam.
Yeah.
Somebody should do that. Somebody is convincible.
Somebody
on
should
that.
Have like such sloppy handwriting that Jeff holds up and is like, wait, what does this name say? And then you could say, that says Adam.
Yeah. At the risk of summoning at Bring Back Gandia, I do wonder if there is if there's utility to pulling off like the intentional Denver Diva, right? Mm. Like to pulling off the intentional like messy handwriting that could be construed one of two ways, and waiting to see how the chips fall. And you publicly own the vote, but you're on the right side of it. The risk there is Jeff wants to get rid of the confusion right away and pulls it out first, and then you just kind of have to declare. But it could be a move.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I'm pretty sure that they would pull you before they read the votes and say that this is an illegible vote.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you just gotta look like convincingly, like it's a cross between two words.
Yeah,
good luck. You know, it's gonna be hard.
But. Okay, Josh,
do you think they do handwriting tests before you go out on Survivor?
They do. Yeah. I guess look at your application, and if it's in calligraphy tie dye, I think you automatically get on. Josh, we didn't get to talk at all about Agent Sarah sneaking into the Cele camp. Did you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. the spit ash. I don't want to talk about it.
What's dirtier, spit or ash?
Coronavirus. That's how the coronavirus is born.
Tony
spat in ash and turned it into camouflage, and it left the island and evolved into corona.
Here's a little story about the camouflaging of Officer Sarah from Coop.
Puffed the camo ashes Tony brought for me. It billowed in the night's vision on a beach in Fiji. Stealth partner Tony resurrected Capsaurus. Despite ignoring the ladder clause, he remained conscious.
That was a folk classic from Peter Harkey, Paul Walker, and Mary who?
Yeah, who is that? Is the last one? This is another reason why add it to the list of get Edge of Extinction out of here. It eats up enough screen time that we can't like get like a real reaction from Tony being like, oh, so these are what the fire tokens are for. Wow. You know, you have to imagine he had some sort of massive reaction to this other than just like spitting into a bowl filled with ash. You know?
My ash.
Yeah.
The great thing about the fire tokens is that I keep them in my pocket, and then this token is my wife, and this token is my daughter, and then this other token is my daughter.
Yeah. Oh, these fire tokens are so useful for the charcoal that you can turn into ash and spit on and paint on people's faces.
What do you think that was the genesis of this scene? Do you think that Sarah was like, hey Tony, will you help me coordinate this? And then Tony is like, okay, Sarah, I got it.
I think like you need like in the same way like that you're gonna keep the specialist close to you by letting him give you a Stealth R Us name. You like keep Tony close to you by letting him like
come up with missions.
Yeah, go on a mission with his antics.
Yeah, I wish they would have let Tony go to the beach also.
I know, I did too. I wish that had been an option. Tony would have been busted.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But Sarah's a smart enough player that she would have known, like, yeah, I gotta go. Like, I can do that. Tony can't do that. Tony will knock over literally every single torch.
Yeah, Tony just goes into a full-on raid of the cell. Like, all right, everybody down on the floor. All right, everybody go.
Oh, God. Oh, no. I was wondering, like, would he go in, would he grab all of the torches, scoop them up, and run into the jungle? And just, like, reach in and then, like, go to the boat. Go. Yeah. I hope we get to see Tony on a mission. Oh, my God. I mean, every minute of Tony is bonus Tony at this point, as far as I'm concerned.
Josh, we've got one more wand off in the honorable mentions here about Tony and Sarah's mission to camouflage here from Stan C.
Sometimes you gotta be extra sneaky in this world.
Tony,
you don't know how to conceal yourself, so
this is Sarah.
You gotta use spit.
It's Cops R Us. And they had a mission. Sarah had to get the advantage from the other kid to not get caught. They would call on a fence to make it stick. They used some of Tony's spit.
That's so gross.
That was from the group Brenda Lonely Island.
Oh, God. Spy spit was not something that I had on my bingo card coming into this season, to be honest.
Really, llama spit, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of talking llama.
You go spy shack, spy bunker, spy spit. We're really lo-fi this season.
Mm-hmm.
There's spy ladder. You know, he's got the real line of accessories to toss out there. It's gross, though.
Josh, we talked about all of the fire tokens going on over on the Edge of Extinction. Here's a song that comes to us from Danielle and Kristen about Natalie's sudden wealth.
Natalie's a billionaire out on the edge. She can buy all of the idols and the snacks. Gonna be on the cover of the DVD, smiling next to Tyson and the Queen. She's counting out all the shells, climbing up the big hill. Another token every night. Oh, I swear those winners aren't prepared, 'cause Nat's a billionaire.
That was from Kelly Bruno Mars.
Yeah, Natalie the billionaire of Extinction is amazing. It is great. It's really great. She's just crushing everybody.
Yeah, might be wishful thinking at this point for Tyson on the DVD cover also.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get back to our next track. This one is from Davis, Will, talking about the awkward moment after before Tribal Council for the Sele tribe.
Sitting on Sele, awaiting the gameplay. All the survivors in a silent standoff. There might be a blind side, led by Adam Klein. Unless somehow something goes horribly wrong. The plan for the vote today is Parvati will go. At least it was Kill, Adam told Boston Rob. Some people claim the old school's run in the game. But I know I'll sure miss Ethan's on.
Yeah, me too.
That was a great one from Jimmy. Drop your buffet. Next up, it's Updog Jimmy, who really enjoyed the interview with Rupert this week.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of which, Rupert, it's Parvati. It's not that hard. You were on a season with her. Parvati.
Josh, have we got the wand off for you?
God.
The most dangerous person out of those three is Parvati.
When came out about Parvati.
They're still in the game. You know, just like Rob said last night. To Parvati.
Folks are dumb. Parvati's our villain. They can't pronounce a name and don't seem to mind.
Parvati.
From Cook Islands to the winners at war. They think that her name is a societal class.
Parvati.
They say the Wandoff ain't no place to start a fight. Right now I'm sick of the ability of people and their pronunciation of Parvati.
Parvati.
Oh, can you say
it's crazy.
It with me? Please stop pronouncing it. Poverty.
It's crazy. She's like she is one of the Mount Rushmore Survivor players, and no one can say her name right? Get out of here!
That was from the supergroup Bitter Journey.
What the crab cakes? It's Parvati! How hard Holy is that? Cakes. Holy crab cakes! It's Parvati!
Baby crab the doodle doo.
Baby Parvati. It's not poverty, you numbskulls. It is Parvati. A spontaneous wand off right now. It's poverty.
I'm not used to hearing you sing in not the Wanda voice.
And busting out my Michael McDonald. Yeah.
Next up, we have
Michael Mick Trimming Donald, as we should say.
And Josh, you mentioned it at the top of the show. This week's player who got voted off was picked by two people who are supposedly Survivor experts to go far in this season. Here's Swaggy J talking about a pick that did not go so great.
Rob's been really trying lately, trying to pick these winners for so long. He chose Ethan, so did Josh Wiggler.
That's me.
Rob called up Josh preseason and he said so sensually, let's get it wrong. Wiggler, let's get it wrong. Let's get it wrong. I haven't been right since the knees, so F it, let's get it wrong.
It's so much work. I don't think you people realize how much work it is.
Is that me complaining about the Wanda? I think that's right.
Not sure.
I think that's what the clip's from.
That was from Marvin Gabriel Cade.
Yeah. Gabriel Cade. I am a little concerned that apparently people have tapped our phones. Because you did call me in the preseason and say that. Let's get
those
it
those are the $75 patrons.
He did call me so sensually. Very strange night. It's a Thursday. I don't know what you were doing on a Thursday. It was so wild.
We've got one more honorable mention making fun of you and Rob for getting the winner pick wrong. Here's
the
Taylor
content everybody craves.
And one half of this week's Wand Off Champions, Aaron Robertson.
Person voted out of Survivor. Winners of four.
Last Wednesday night, we all felt pain.
We all felt misery.
New schoolers delight, while old school collects fire tokens they've been bequeathed.
Poverty and Boston Rob, they have no friends whose votes they can't count on. But if they are wise, they'll get revenge for our boy Ethan's on. I know who you're blaming for voting Ethan. Jeremy, Michelle, Denise, and Ben.
But just think a little deeper and you'll understand.
You should blame Josh Wiggler and the sucky Rob.
Wow!
This is Danny's fault.
They're always wrong with their winner picks. The last 15 seasons, don't pay attention to the fact that the season was filmed before they picked Ethan's on. We should all blame them. Josh and Suggy Ryan. Blame them. Blame them.
I blame a young elephant.
Sucky Rob?
Yeah, so a couple of things. I guess you get the wombat hat. It gets a little some side effect of some ego inflation, folks. Think you can come on here under the wand off and tell us we suck? You think that's okay?
Well, I don't think you suck. I think I'm Sucky Rob.
Well, your nickname is Sucky Rob, which sucks. That definitely is, you know, that's rough. But I'm getting blamed here with you. So you're dragging my ship down. And I think that that's sucky. I think the whole thing is no good. Some other corrections on the field I'd like to say is that I picked Ethan preseason. He hadn't been voted out yet.
Yeah, Josh did this.
I saw Ethan get on the show, and it's like, he's back, winner pick.
Mm-hmm.
So don't blame sucky Rob, but also don't blame me.
Yeah.
It's not my fault either. And who's the real loser here? Us or you? For writing a wand off, dragging me and Rob with any thought that you would make it into the top five with that song. A waste of your time to target us so viciously.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Bill Posley withered.
You guys are great, and I love you all. It was a funny song.
Josh, I know we've been going for a while, but are you ready for this week's top five songs in Wombats Nation?
Now, I'm also going to say that I picked Michelle to win Kerrang, and I got that right. So it hasn't been 15 seasons for me, you turds. I got one right recently in the 30s, but I did get Malcolm as my winner pick. He got voted out fourth, and Ethan as my winner pick. He got voted out fourth, and Chelsea Walker was my winner pick, and she got voted out fourth. Yeah. So.
And I wanted to pick Tyson, and I didn't want everybody to say, oh, you're just picking him because he's your friend.
Yeah. Tyson sidebarred with Rob. He's like, hey, you better pick me this time.
Better not pick me.
Yeah.
Josh, this week we have five great songs from Wombats Nation, starting with a song from Patrick from Nashville, who has a song about a surprising performance in this week's challenge. Here's Patrick from Nashville.
Yeah. Okay. Patrick from Nashville. Let's go.
Ben. Immunity with my homies. Trying to get a little chicken.
Damn.
I don't want to be voting tonight. Cause I know how it feels. I saw Robert. He was trying to compete. From the game he was talking all the time, you would think he could do this challenge. I decided to chill, but the ball was too heavy. He looked pathetic when he tried to throw.
He missed. Missed again.
He was saying replace me, so I went up and took a shot of my own. But then I botched the throw, and when that happened I said,
ah, shut up.
There's too much rope and I'm not. And I couldn't throw it.
Oh, shut up.
It's a good thing no one wants to vote me.
Oh, shut up.
Next time I throw, better hit or I'll be screaming shiga, 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 shiga.
Oh, shut up.
Shiga, 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 shiga.
Oh, shut up.
Tyler Scheigert.
Shiga, indeed. That was from Usharia Lloyd. Shiga Lloyd.
Ah, Shiga. That's like when in the commercial the guy would say, Sega!
Shiga. Shiga. Josh, the number two song here in this week's Wand Off comes to us from Jordan from Vancouver. And he's got a song about a secret mission that Tony and Sarah got together to perform this week. Here's Jordan from Vancouver.
Spit it in the charcoal, make it nice and wet. And then she had to spit in it too because it wasn't enough.
Tony! Officer Sarah!
I'm a sneak. I'm a sneak while Soleil is asleep. I'm a sneak, I'm a sneak. Coconut ash on my cheek. I'm a sneak, I'm a sneak. Steal a vote got bequeathed to me.
Are we serious right now? So she tells me spit on it.
Don't say nothing to anybody.
Hey, look into my bag and what do I find? A note that got bequeathed from a friend of mine. She's living on the edge, I'm on the Dakar shore. I'm the sneakiest sneak, had this advantage before.
Kayla sat there eating her popcorn. I stole her vote and sent her right out the door. Gonna play it right, that's why I'm a Bron. Shh, someone's sleeping. Oh, it's Ethan. Yawn. If I'm gonna pull this off, gotta stay stealthy. Recruit my partner in crime, Mr. Team TV. Cops or us need you. Tony, put down Jaws. Grab that coconut and give me some camouflage. I spit, you spit, baby, just like that. I'm not the freakiest freak, nah, I'm the sneakiest sneak. I'm a sneak, I'm a sneak. While Soleil is asleep, I'm a sneak, I'm a sneak. Coconut ash on my cheek. I'm a sneak, I'm a sneak. Steal a vote, got bequeathed to me.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Wanda!
There you go. That was from Bryce Isaiah.
Yeah, Bryce did that. That was Bryce.
The sneakiest sneak
of the week. Yeah, I mean, by default, it's Officer Sarah.
There's a lot of Kagiyan in that one.
Yeah. Never too much. No such thing.
The number three song comes to us from a newcomer to the Wandoff. Here is Jack.
A lot of breathing. Oh God.
Did you see Survivor this week, y'all? I'm dying for Ethan. Poverty at him, then he's gone. Edge of extinction. It's Natalie Beach, y'all. She trying to get back, so she traded for racks, even though she could buy shit to sleep on. Pillows or maybe a mattress. Back at the call of this madness. Tony is grabbing a catfish.
Wait, that's a shark in the basket.
Adam is trying some tactics. Never seen anyone that pissed. Flip on Denise and you whack, kid. You ain't Malcolm, you's a maverick. 4 a.m, Sarah's crawling, riding the cell. Where they hold it, another advantage. And they torches, careful cause that is where they dozing, know that I'm giddy. Every moment, just 40 minutes. Plus some bonus, CBS give us more than 40, it's what I'm wanting. And you know it. Can't follow this up cause the season is so. I know that you're gonna, but I do not know. Hope the ratings ain't slow.
Damn.
And my favorites ain't go. I'm so happy my favorites are back. Winners at war, what's better than that?
That nice. Was from the legendary rapper Con.
Yay!
Like the lady who stomped the grapes and fell. Oh, Josh, I prefer the grapes. I prefer the grapes.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
For track number 4 in sure. this week's Wandoff.
Yeah.
It comes to us from another great pair from the Wandoff. Here's Kiri and Alex talking about the people that we've been seeing so much of this season. Here's Kiri and Alex.
Barely got on his boot episode. Where's my mama?
For these screen hogs hog until they target you. Screen hogs on the edge of still hog too.
That was from the group Aero Christie Smith.
Yeah, the different Aerosmith.
Lots of Aerosmith this week.
Yeah, who knew? Funapu.
Josh, our fifth and final entry into the top five this week comes to us from a legendary Wandoff pair that has been producing Wandoff hits since the very first Wandoff in Heroes, Hustlers, and the other one. It's Jenny and Colin.
Yes.
And they're back to talk about this week's Secret Mission.
I'm just an officer looking for a partner. Someone who knows the disguise so I can get a steal of vote.
This ash isn't sticking on. Bequeath me your saliva. Rub it in until my forehead's gone. I need you to be spitting like llama.
We're partners. Let's do it. Spit on by Tony. My chuckles.
Stealthy, let's do it. Spit on Vitoni. Let's get it so pasty. Come and spit on it.
Mission accomplished.
That's great wordplay.
That was from the artist Genuwine Glass, held by the world's greatest writer, Mike White.
Oh man, I'm a fan.
And that was this week's top five on the Wandoff. Of course, you can vote all week long on the top five songs in all of Wombat's Nation by heading on over to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda. The tabulator will be looking at the poll results and throwing out all the ones that don't belong from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Get out of here, Cherry Hill.
robhasawebsite.com/votewanda. And of course, big shout out to the noop, Randy Newple, who went through all of these Wandoff entries and listened to the good, the bad, and the ugly, and uploaded them all to the SoundCloud playlist, which you could hear at robhasawebsite.com/patron.
Top five member of the human species.
And my mission is accomplished here as well. Josh right. Wiggler, until next time, keep your feet on the ground and keep your hands off the table.
All right. Bye, Casey.
Bye.
The spit missed. It just went right through. I tried.
All right. There
but
you go.
He said he had a mission to do, so.
Yeah.
How is this guy still alive?
No, he's not.
He's not. He's not. He's deceased, and he joins us every week as a ghost.
Shiga.
Okay. Shiga. Oh, Shiga. Yes. Isn't that what Saget says in Street Fighter when he hits somebody? Says, Shiga uppercut.
Bob Saget?
Yeah, that's another Saget.
Okay. That's a different one. Okay.
Yeah. He would not have abided the spy spit, Danny Tanner. Neat freak. Yeah. Like a regular Howie Mandel. Yeah. I'm in pain. I'm in active pain from laughing too hard.
Okay.
it's like it still hurts.
Okay, well, hope you will recover for next week's wiggle room.
Oh my god, I hope so too. I expect I will.
I hope so. All right.
Hard to say, I guess.
Josh, I know you have a lot going on. You want to tell the listeners a little bit of what you're up to?
We got a lot going on post-show recaps, very busy right now. Curb Your Enthusiasm podcast should be available at this time. Better Call Saul podcast with myself and Antonio Mazzaro.
Get in on the debate. Is Ted Danson hot?
Ted Danson's hot. It's not a debate anymore. I called the race. The race is over, and we're hours after I called the race, and the poll numbers are holding.
Yeah.
Ted Danson is hot.
I asked my wife.
What'd she say?
What do you think?
She said yes.
No.
No, she said no. She said no. She said no. All right, well, have fun in the 33%, guys.
Yeah.
Because the rest of us are going to be over here worshiping
Ted
Danson.
These are the kinds of things we talk about on the Curb Your Enthusiasm recap.
We're having a great time. Myself, Rob, and Akiva. I'm nowhere near Liana Boris in total RENAP appearances,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like I'm starting to log a significant amount of time with you and Akiva.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how's that going?
It's all right. I love Akiva. I love you. It's great. It's just, should we have done this? Probably not. Probably not, but we did it, and now we're stuck with it. Only 3 more weeks, and we're having a good time. I think the podcast is great, but did we need to have, 2 hours total of our lives every week dedicated to Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
In addition to everything else we've got going on? Probably not, but we did it, and here we are. So that podcast exists. Better Call Saul, Antonio and I are talking about. We've got a great, great recap of this week's episode up on post-show recaps or coming soon at the very least. Jessica Lise and I, we're getting together to talk about Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 10. Walking Dead just went full Halloween. Beta went Mike Myers on Alexandria. Not Mike Myers. I guess that would be him. He started doing a Shrek impression.
Yeah, baby.
Is that Shrek doing an Austin Powers?
Wait, is there a big difference between Shrek and Austin Powers?
Yeah, it's a different accent completely.
Is it?
Yes, absolutely yes. 100% yes. Anyway, we don't need to go there. Down the Hatch is happening. We're going to lose one of the main characters from Lost on the Down the Hatch rewatch this week, as Mike Bloom and I are going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 6 of Lost. And for this show that's been off the air for almost 10 years, and this character who's been dead for almost, I'd say, 15 years on the show, I still don't want to spoil the person by name. But we're going to talk about that. So post-show recaps, very, very, very busy. I've got a work trip that I'm gearing up for this week. Westworld is really heating back up. I'm going to be interviewing all the folks involved with Westworld for The Hollywood Reporter. Got a podcast coming up on Series Regular for Westworld over at The Hollywood Reporter. So subscribe to Series Regular if you haven't done that. And we'll also have Westworld podcast coverage on post-show recaps. I'm looking at the post-show recaps content calendar right now. And next week and the week after that, 6 podcasts on post-show recaps each week for the foreseeable future. Oh, Shiga indeed. So we got a lot going on. There's a lot happening.
How is
this
guy still alive?
I don't know. You wonder why I'm getting out of here. Got a lot going on. But I really am feeling very anxious about it because the one-off makes me laugh so hard. This is hysterical. This is really, really
cool. All right. Well, follow at Round Howard on Twitter to get all of that. I'm at Rob Sestrino.
And on the Instagram, too. And I told people you could slide into my DMs and I'll respond to you. And I'm sitting at 23 DM requests. Now it's just gotten to be stressful and I'm going to get back to everybody.
Yep, that,
but
it'll happen.
But they're piling up. So I owe some people 3 days. I owe some people a full week. I'll get back in touch. It's just been a lot. I'll be in touch.
Holy crap cakes.
Yeah, it's a holy crap cakes, but it's so nice to hear from so many people. It's been great.
Okay. All right. Josh Wiggler, great job as always. Get that Wand Off SoundCloud playlist at robhasawebsite.com/patron. It's the beginning of the month, the best time of the month to become a new patron. We are going to be doing our Survivor pregame show, and it is going to go off without a hitch on a Wednesday. Not hitch Liana Boris's favorite movie.
That's a great movie. Yeah. That's your favorite? That's great.
I think it is now. Robhasawebsite.com/patron, of course. 3 patron shows a week for the patrons of Rob's Podcast, plus access to our patron-only Facebook community.
Sign up! Support the content you love. Don't take it for granted. Might not always be here. Rob works his ash off to bring you the goods. Go sign up. Be a patron of RHAP. What are you waiting for? You've been thinking about it. You've been wanting to do it. Go and do it. Just do it.
You're like Shane Powers.
Oh, well, yeah.
My evangelist.
Yeah. Don't say his name in my presence. I'm scared of him. Seems to take a weird thing with Shane Powers on the Twitter sometimes. I really have no idea. But do it. Be the patron that you want to be. You want to do it, just do it. Okay. Sign up.
Thank you for listening. Congratulations again to Aaron and Jordan. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Everyone knows that I'm such a super duper fan. The biggest survivor stand should know where my torch goes. Right in the hole. But when I try to find that hole where my torch should go, needed Ben, my twist team bro, showed me the proper spot. So now I know, put my torch in you, like Jeff wants me to. It'll fit so right. Burn through tribal tonight, put my torch in you, right behind my crew. Hopefully Boston Rob will stop laughing too.